Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Got about 20 seconds.
Ooh, I was ready to go, and then you teased me with 20 okay. seconds.
Sorry, buddy. Are you ready to go right now? Okay, you got 20 seconds. Wait for it.
Uh-oh.
It's like when your girl looks at you in the eyes and says, "We gotta go together. Do it with me." And you're like, "What?"
Took a turn. Welcome back to Fluxtapose. This is What You Playin' number 6. I am Jason Lacey, that guy with all the hair. That's Lucas Rose.
What?
That's me.
That's still your anime thing. Welcome to the show. We're happy to have you here. We're doing our thing live-ish, Twitch TV, Twitch.tv/Fluxtapose. That's where we are. Discord, we have a server, you can join it, you can hang out, fluxpose.com/discord. We stream live, like I said that, yeah, Tuesdays, Twitch, and you can join our Legion, patreon.com/fluxpose. I'll have you notice, let's just talk about the white elephant in the room.
More of a red elephant.
I hit myself on the head with a garbage lid today. That's why I got this nice red mark. It's not a katana. I didn't take a katana to the skull.
Ooh.
Trash, a dumpster lid hit me in the forehead.
If it was a little bit lower, like over the eye, you'd look like Kratos a little bit.
I mean, I'm going for it, man. I got the bald head. I just got to be angry all the time. Boy!
I like it.
That's all I got.
Next time, hit yourself in the eye is what I'm saying.
Yeah, do it both ways. So yeah, then I can have that. Then I can have the eye patch.
Then you'd be Harlan Space Pirate.
Then with your hair and you're doing the glasses push up, and I could have the scar and the eye patch. We'd be total anime podcast duo.
Badasses.
Love and a peace.
Are those two people cosplaying? No, that's just how they look all the time.
Sean Capri's here for Yoda and Kazan. We don't do any of those things here anymore.
It's true. So.
Oh, Sean, I did go. Since you're here, I think it's appropriate to share with you. I had some good oral. Went to the dentist last week. Good oral. Oral's top notch.
Nice. He told me.
So, thought you should know that.
Did he get all the way in the back? Did he go deep, basically, is what I'm saying. Or she?
Yeah.
Good. Got all up in there.
Not just the tip.
Hey, how about I get out of pre-show?
Yeah. Wait, do that.
Let
first
the
time,
stow chart.
Huh? First time here.
Let the show. Let the stow chart. What the hell's going on? Yes. 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 How's it going?
All right. It's good. How are you?
I'm okay. I hurt. Still doing it? Hurt in all places. I'll talk about that in a few.
Oh, good. Well, you want to just talk about it right now?
Sure. Yeah.
Shall we talk about? Yeah. We don't have a bumper firewall. I always,
Yeah.
Pretend we have a bumper.
You always just wait like for that split second. You're like, is he going to play something? No, it's not coming. I stopped trying a long time ago.
I think everyone knows we both stopped trying a long time ago.
Sometimes you say stories about our lives to make you feel.
Oh, I said the thing. I go, let's tell us about your lives, our lives, so you feel better about your own.
That's about as good as it's going to get. IRL.
Lucas, I have, I think as many people can identify with, that quarantine 15. That's a real thing. If you're not careful, you can really fall down a rabbit hole of badness. So like one day I had personally avoided stepping on the scale because of it. And then one day I was like, okay, let's just see how much damage
you can't avoid it anymore.
And it's not good. You have to face those numbers and you're like, oof, I got to make some changes in my life. And for me, it kind of comes together. Like my office, we opened back up this week actually, so I'm back in the office full time, so kind of like getting back in that routine. So like last week, like in preparation of that, I was like, okay, I gotta do something to change. I gotta make some changes, not just diet, but I've been talking about trying to be more active for the longest time. So I was like, okay, now's the time. So every day I did it all 5 work days. I didn't do it on the weekend, that was kind of weird, but I got up at like 5:30. And I walked for at least 30 minutes.
You did. There's proof because you posted on Discord. You said,
that's right. I mean, if it's on Discord, it has to be true. So I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to minimum. I want to try to I've got the Fitbit and I was like, use it. So I'm like trying to hit, minimum the 10,000 steps a day with that. And, trying to do the water intake too. I made a really push to increase that. Like, I know there was one day, like literally I had like only coffee in the morning, and then afternoon, evening, I had beer. That was like the only fluids I had.
The only place you're getting water from.
That's not good. That's not good at all, you know? So
it's not normal.
I'm trying to hit a minimum of 64 ounces of water as well. I'm logging it all. I'm closing the little circles in the Fitbit, you know, and I'm like, you know, gamifying a little bit. I think that's really working for me. So, I mean, I feel better. It feels good to like get up and do something physical, because then I'm not like just waiting for coffee to wake up. I have like a natural way to wake up, and I just feel like I have more energy throughout the day, more like sustained.
Yeah.
Energy. So
because you flushed out all of the toxins with some water.
So I mean, I feel better like energy wise, and I think just from a state of mind place, you know, just feel better holistically.
It's like when you work out, it naturally gives you a more confident feeling about yourself, because you have all these endorphins and things going, and you're just doing something good for yourself.
Yeah. And I'm still doing my push-ups, but I've modified them, and they really hurt my little weenie chest, so I can't do as many anymore.
That's how you know you're doing it well.
It hurts.
You need a chest like The Rock.
Yeah, okay.
Eat a whole cow every day, and you'll get there.
I think my whole body is like the size of one of his pectorals, so I don't know how that'll work.
At least a butt cheek.
Don't make me snort my beer. And
all the kids are doing
the trend of getting old for the first time in my life. I picked out frames this week. I'm getting glasses, my friend. I'm getting glasses.
Oh, welcome to the Resta. Now, glasses for what?
Well,
your eyes.
In terms of vision, I still have 20/20 vision. So I don't have, like, I haven't had a problem ever like seeing anything, but like once you actually like you go through there and you're in that machine, and then they're like they're giving you getting the Stanley Kubrick treatment, and I got my eyes all like
dilated.
But when you actually like you're getting hit with the different prescriptions and you actually see the difference, and it's like going from 720 to like 4K.
Yeah, it's true.
It was like it just sharpens everything. So I won't just have my fake blue light blocking lenses.
You'll have longer.
I'm going to have some real ones, but I think I'm only, you know, I'm probably, work is the main thing, because I'm like staring at small print and screens and things, and
it can be pretty dangerous if you got slightly fuzzy vision, causes eye strain. You know, you're having to like really just your eyes will pop out of your head if you don't.
Yeah. You're not careful. So I mean, I have a slight astigmatism in both eyes, so that's the cause of it all. But it's crazy, like how much of a difference that can make. So I'm be interested to see, like in the real world, like how that'll be, and just the whole process of doing that now in this era. Like I know what they look like on me, like this, you know. So I'm not sure what I actually see much of them on my whole face, because you have to wear, like the whole time you're trying them on, you got to be masked up.
That's true.
So.
What kind of frames did you pick out? Did you get something really nerdy looking, or like kind of what's in with the thick black frames?
I was obviously I gravitated towards what I already have like right now. Like my fake glasses are like, you know, they're like that clear, they're plastic, that clear see through frame. So I know I didn't want metal frames. I knew I wanted plastic frames. And then I don't even know what brand they are, but they're similar style. I think mine might be a little more rounded, but they're also like they're a gray clear plastic on the actual lens themselves, and then the earpieces are darker. But
Bold choice,
out in like Tom. In a couple weeks. Yeah.
Yes. Well, welcome to the club.
Well,
I have contacts now, so that I can avoid that. So I'm actually kind of certain almost that they screwed up my glasses prescription, because when I put them on, I feel okay. When I put them on, it's not so bad. But when I take them off to put my contacts in, it feels like my eyes uncross. So I know they did they must have did the IPD or interpupillary distance wrong.
Ooh.
And I'm guessing it's because I was standing at the checkout counter, check-in, check-out counter. And she's like, oh, let me get your IPD thing real quick. And she just takes a marker and like goes boop, boop on the glasses that they're going to send in or whatever. That's how they did it. They didn't measure it or anything.
Okay, yeah, that's a problem. Because like I had to get my Luke's, my Han Solo from Hoth binoculars and hold those up. And then they.
Yes. Did they do the puff puff test on you?
When I had my eye exam?
Yeah.
No, I've never had that. I had an eye exam. The last time I had an eye exam was about 5 years ago. So that's why I went again. And because I haven't had vision insurance since then.
Well, because you're I don't have any vision problems. I don't have to go to the
I've never doctor. Had that done to me. No.
Well, my local place, which has now been vandalized by the riots, they got rid of it. They do something else now. No puff of air. It's terrible. Imagine someone just going in your eye, but you have no clue when it's coming. So you just sit there and you're like,
what is that check for? I don't even remember.
Eye pressure something. It's an eye pressure test, I believe, that checks for who knows. Maybe they just like to do it to make you feel uncomfortable. I don't know.
Well, see, I don't remember like the last time I'm pretty sure I had my eyes dilated the last time. And this time too, it was like, I think it took like 6 hours. It felt like before it wore off. I had to wear sunglasses like the whole rest of the day because I just couldn't. Everything was just like too bright.
Too bright, yeah.
My poor wife. She had it done later that day too, and she couldn't see at all afterwards.
I hear like, it's pretty bad.
Blurred of vision.
You gotta have somebody drive you too.
My bruise is almost healed from when I had to break into my car.
Wow, that's a pretty bad one. When they turn yellow, that's pretty bad. It can actually tell you tons of information, the eye test, on how to better protect your peepers and can reveal signs of glaucoma, an eye disease affected by increased eye pressure and the second leading cause of blindness.
I can just go to the dispensary and.
Well, now, it, soon.
I just can just go to the dispensary anyway.
Yeah. No, you don't have to have tennis elbow to get pot now. So
maybe that's the solution for your problems right now.
Massive amounts of pot.
Yeah, and you'll sleep better.
Oh yeah, yeah, probably.
You won't be all like funky baby when you're sleeping.
Well, we'll see. I'm hoping that goes away. Why don't I tell you a little bit? Well, you already know, but
I'm all done. That's all I got.
So you are referring to, well, let's start at the beginning. So we've been landscaping the old house arena because it looked like crap. Basically, I tried to lay down rock where you would normally around the foundation of the house where you would normally put mulch or whatever. You just, I don't know what it is. I don't know what
one,
it is.
One does not simply lay down the rock.
It's true. It's true. There's more steps involved. And I didn't do those steps. And now I was forced to redo them all. So I did it the right way. I put down the landscaping fabric first and then, you know, put down the rock and planted the plants or whatever, what has you. But in that process, I carried 1,700 pounds of rock by the time we got done. Not once, though. That's just loading it up into the car. So I did that amount two different times because I had to take them out of the car. So while in doing that, apparently I must have bothered my arms or shoulders or elbows or something because it's kind of came on every other night or every three nights where I would wake up, and I've always kind of woke up every few nights and my arm might be asleep or my hand might be asleep or something like that. No big deal. But these last few nights, this last week, really, I'll wake up and both of my arms and hands will be asleep, and I will have this awful pain in like my tricep / elbow region. And it just, ugh. It's so awful. If I had to give it a number, because, you know, they make you do that, 10 being like your arm got chopped off, I'd give it like a 6 or a 7. It was pretty bad. Like, I don't know what it is about it, but it's like this tightness feeling, and it's what I imagine arthritis must feel like. It was horrible.
It doesn't sound fun.
I mean, it was enough to wake me up in the middle of the night. And this last time, it was happening at like 4 or 5 in the morning. Yesterday, it happened at 2 in the morning. I was dealing with it most of the night. And I, you know, normally you, to get like your arm to wake back up and get the blood flowing again, you would just kind of change position, figure out where what you have to do to kind of open up the nerve and the blood, getting the blood flowing and everything. But for some reason, and I did that, but the pain wouldn't go away in the elbow area. So I looked it up. I talked to Tom Servo a little bit about it, and because he's dealt with this before. So I don't know if it's like an ulnar nerve, which he talked about, or carpal tunnel or what. And either way, with the sudden onset, I would have to think that it's from carrying all of this heavy rock, because I'm picking it up with my hands, you know, basically. There's really no good way to like lift with your knees like they tell you to. So yeah, I don't know what I did, but I jacked myself up, and last few nights it's been really bad. So I'm hoping I did some stretches. I didn't lift anything today. It's not sore. That's the weird part.
That's
like
good.
My back, my arms. Question. Yeah. And if I touch them, I don't feel like I worked myself out too bad. It's just like all my joints kind of hurt. Even my knees just started hurting. Not at night, but like if I'll crouch down to like pick up Evelyn or something, I'll notice the tops of my knees almost just like my elbows. So it's got to be something related to my joints. I don't know.
You're becoming that senator in the first X-Men movie where he like, where they hit him with that machine and he slowly turns to liquid goo.
Ooh,
that's you.
That might feel good.
You're slowly turning into mush.
It's true. It's true. Well, it hurts, and I don't like it. Well, sir.
Good news. You'll be able to shove your face through a prison bar soon.
Can I be like that from Terminator 2 and turn into liquid metal and chase you around?
Ooh, I hope so. And ask me if I've seen that boy. I'm going to interject here with something totally random.
Go ahead.
But
I'm pretty much done.
I was hooking Kevin up with the Fluxtapose link for that Humble Bundle. Because we have to talk about Humble Bundle on the show. And I was I just thought it was those games that were in the image of the preview.
No.
And didn't realize there's like 40, 50. I don't mean how. There's just endless
Plus
amounts of things in
comics.
This bundle. This
is, yeah, this, I was looking
this
at it earlier.
Is insane. Like, wow.
Wow.
I mean, first of all, it's for a great cause anyway, but I mean, they're giving you a lot.
For $30, isn't it? You pay $30 and you get all sorts of stuff at humblebundle.com.
Yeah.
It's the bundle for race equality or something like that.
Yep. You get Hyperlight Drifter. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, that's true. That's
Titan
true.
Titan Quest. I just talked about that.
Yeah. I don't know why they're still giving that game away. Well, nobody plays it. It's a decent Diablo clone.
I always wanted to play Super Time Force, but I don't know if I, you know.
Now's
anyway,
the time.
Wait, that's a topic for another day.
Is it though? How about it be a topic for never?
Sure. Okay.
We talked about it. What more do you want?
Well, I mean, you've made huge gains, though. It's like you're ready to sell your house, but you're not. You're just going to live there forever.
Yeah, I just didn't want to be that house. That's really what it came down to.
You share the pictures. I mean, I kind of saw. I'll be honest. I haven't been on Discord a whole lot, and from what I did see, though, it looked really great.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, I shared some pictures of before. I'm not really good about being like, oh, I should take pictures of this and then take after pictures after we're all done. I usually go, oh, shoot, I should probably, like, take a before picture so I can explain how bad it is without having to explain it, you know?
Everybody look at the dump I live in.
Yeah, exactly. I never go into it thinking, like, I'm going to post this on my Instagram. Let's get started.
You know, Sean Capri's up there, and he's like, I don't understand what the problem is. Like, universal health care, I just go in and get checked out, and they just give me money.
Must be nice.
Why was he worried about this medical condition? Just get taken care of. Doesn't work like that here, Sean.
It doesn't.
Doesn't work like it.
Plus,
doesn't.
They'll probably give me some medication. I don't want that.
For the glaucoma.
I do want that. Yeah. It looks a lot better. And I'm no longer that house. You know what was... It had to have been somewhat bad because a neighbor that lives across from, like, kitty corner from me came over and introduced himself and says, like, I see what you're doing there. It looks real good. And I'm like, yep, you guys have talked about how crappy our house looks before, because otherwise, why would you feel compelled to come over and be like, good work over there? What are you doing over there?
And that's interesting too, that the nerve is it's like everywhere. It's not limited to like, I wonder, maybe like calcium or iron, or maybe like,
I thought about maybe hydration because I was in the same boat as you.
Potassium?
Yeah. I started drinking more water, but it didn't seem to help anything because I thought maybe Inflammation. The old inflammation. Everything's inflamed now.
I take fiber daily too. So yeah, I am that old.
Nice.
I am old.
You should eat Raisin Bran.
Sean also wants to know why we don't just move a couple hours north and solve all our problems.
Because we already bitch about the weather here, so 2 hours north is like the frozen wastelands.
I asked if he needed a mani. He says he needs two.
Oh. Oh my.
So.
I mean, I'll think about it. I'll ask my wife.
I mean, she'll let you go to the house party. She'll let you go do this. I think it's
as long as it's get as long as it gets canceled, I can go.
Okay, good deal. You want to talk about some what you plan?
Sure, let's do it. Bring. Then we talk about how it's missing some kind of cash register sound effect or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Sean says, don't move here. It's way too cool here. But you can be in nice Canada and still get free health care and all the things Americans fight over.
Yes. Nothing happened.
Wait, there's a nice Canada?
Probably the non-French parts.
I'm sure it's got to be London, Ontario. That's got to be it.
The only place. It's whatever places are closest to America. Those are the only nice places.
Okay.
I don't know. I've been to Montreal. It wasn't that great.
How about Saskatchewan? That's just fun to say.
It is. I imagine...
Manitoba.
I imagine that... You know, you ever see those places in movies where there's a, it's like one road?
Can't buy R15s at Best Buy.
Have you been here before? Wait, can you buy it? I bet you can, actually. Walmart. What if Walmart and Best Buy merged? My God. Because those are like two completely different clientele.
Manitoba's not nice. I've been misinformed. Grossly misinformed.
Manitoba.
I blame Justin Masson.
Yeah, but he told me these things. That's from his Canadian perspective. Canadian perspective. Mm. When you come from Michigan... From the United S of A's.
Sean, we can't leave Michigan because we get 10 cents per can. Okay, we got this huge bottle deposit scam
that we can't
run here.
That we can't
give
return.
It up. It's too good to pass up.
They get you on your laziness. That's what they do.
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to talk about stuff.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to talk about?
So I've, there was something else I played here I forgot to add. So,
Jesus.
Mainly I've been playing Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition.
Is this
on
your
Nintendo
Xeno,
Switch?
Xeno game? Besides Xenogears, the best and only?
Yeah, the best game is Xenogears by far, which we'll never get another one, and I'm eternally sad about that. I did get Xenoblade Chronicles 2 from the library. And I had my stint with that, but it just was like, I don't know. And I think I'll talk about, I think, kind of what bothered me about that. But so that I never played one. And I think for this, like, just by from what I saw from, like, the trailers and stuff, it looked like it wasn't as anime tropey as 2.
Yeah.
Kind of is.
2 feels like a jokey anime. Everything's just kind of, like, silly to a certain degree.
Yeah, well, it still is this too. It's just like, oh, you can make your party members as scantily clad as you want for no apparent reason. Okay, why not? But it's just there. But I don't know. Like the setting, the premise, and it, you know, it's a 10-year-old game. So I mean, the game's already out there. So you can if you really wanted to, you can kind of know what you're getting into. But I hadn't, so I thought this would be a great way to play it. I've been kind of looking for like that meaty experience on the Switch, and this is an RPG, and there's like what, like hundreds of hours, like I think 100 hours at least that you can get out of it. So I was like, okay, this is definitely something you can play for
a year.
Long period of time. Yeah, essentially. And I think I've only put maybe 10 into it so
wow.
far. I'm not very far at all. I mean, I haven't played in like a week, but I really like it so far. You know, it's you know, similar combat to what you had in 2, except, you know, you don't have that whole drivers and blades type setup, but the same thing where you're, you know, your character just auto attacks like an MMO. So it's all about positioning, and then you've got all your different skills on cooldowns that you're just initiating based on position or other factors. Like you can, like, what is it? I can't remember what the first status effect is, but like you can trigger topple based on.
Oh yeah, you know, so those things are the same.
Those things are still there. You know, you have your, and you know, you've played Smash Bros. I'm sure you've seen Shulk in there, so you get your backslash.
Yeah.
And all his weird, you know,
yes,
speed and all those attacks. But you know, the characters are like, I think I've only unlocked like 4 party members, but like I really like all the characters. I really like the story so far. It's had like all these, there's had some emotional feels beats already. You're like, oh man, that person just died. This is terrible. And stuff like that happens.
I mean, say what you will about like the anime tropes and stuff. The Japanese write good stories with characters that you can either love them or you hate them usually. Yeah. But I mean, they you will feel some way about them. They generally aren't just like, here's a character that has no personality and is boring.
Here's the thing about, I get lost in RPGs like this though. There's always all these systems at play. You know, like this, there's like this, you know, there's all the people in the town have relationships that you can, and then there's this training, and then you can buy items, and you have all the sockets in your armor, and then you can make gems, and you have all these things on top of each other there.
Yeah.
And it's like, then like I enjoyed Xenoblade Chronicles 2 up until like it seemed like immediately you were thrust into this large city, and it's just like there's all this stuff you can do, all these shops you can do, and then you can go fish in the mist for items.
Yeah.
And there's all these side quests, and it's like I don't know if that's just how like JRPGs do it, but I for me, like if you take me to like this huge city in the beginning of the game and you're just like, okay, do all these things, you're just like, it's like too much, you know? And it just feels, I don't like that. I guess I'm more used to like start off in the small village and the small town, and eventually you work towards that bigger hub experience. But it feels almost daunting. But I didn't let that stifle my experience, but it's interesting. Like I don't buy or sell anything because like I'm afraid I'm going to keep all the stuff for trade or for crafting, but money is never, doesn't ever seem to be like money doesn't even really seem to be an issue. It's just a thing. I don't know. I'm doing all the side quests that I can do. And I actually killed, when I stopped playing, I just had finished like one of the first major boss fights, and it was a challenge. It was definitely it was hard for me. I died like 3 or 4 times before I kind of figured out the strategy to actually to defeat him properly. Like, you know, like, did they have like, in the second one, did you have I don't remember what I haven't played it in so long. I can't remember what it's called, but like you have a bar that's filling up that shows like your party's, essentially like their
special attack thingies or team attack.
Once it's full, you can trigger a chain attack.
Yeah, I believe so.
Where it like zooms in on each character and you can pick an ability and they all, and then you can, if you do, I don't know how, what the conditions you have to meet, but then you can like restart the chain all over again, and you can like stack the chains.
It's been a while since I've played, but yeah, I feel like I remember something like that where you're kind of chaining it up, trying to gain strength and go through these like levels basically where you get stronger and stronger attacks based off elements or something, if I remember correctly.
Oh, it's all really cool. Like I don't know. I think I only have positive things to say. I mean, I definitely am enjoying it. I just haven't I've been in a weird place where like I've had time to game and I'm like, I'm just gonna go to bed instead. I've just been tired and or I'd have like maybe like 30 minutes. I was like, well, I'm not gonna, if it didn't feel like I would make any progress in like a game like Xenoblade. So I was just like, I couldn't like get myself motivated to try it. But all good things, man. I think it, like the world, the setting, like the fact that you're on, like, you know, there's, I don't know how much you know about the setting in the original game. There's 2 giant titans that existed. And what they're
so similar to the second game,
yeah. They have titans too. And the species of the world live on it. The Homs, which are like the humanoid race, and then you got the Mechon, which are these robot evil things. So it was Mechonis, and I can't remember what the other Titan is, but you know, that's a cool setting. And like the music's fantastic. Like I'm on like Gower Plains is where I've been at most of the time, and that's like in Smash Bros. So you've heard the music too, and it's just like this iconic score, and like the music's been up like revamped and remixed for this release, and it's great. I mean, it's great to listen to while you're playing, and like I enjoy the combat, and then like I've enjoyed like the scenery and mucking around. So it's just been a good distraction. I mean, I it took me away from Animal Crossing. I haven't touched that, and I don't remember when.
I think I'm doing that Stones
kinda,
thing.
I'm scared to go back to it.
I think doing the Stones thing really ruined you. By the sounds of it,
that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I was kind of did everything that I kind of wanted to do right now. I mean, yeah, do I have all the items I want? Is my island perfect? No, but it's like, what am I going to benefit from? What am I going to get out of doing that? Personal satisfaction, which. Not a huge deal.
It's true.
And then I started playing Clubhouse games too. That came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My wife and I have played Connect Four a few times.
I played the demo
a few
of that.
The card games. Yep. It's fun little. I mean, they're all well made, and they're. I haven't played online or tried any of that. Trying to beat the computer on like the hardest difficulty in checkers is a real bitch.
No, oh, God, I bet you can't make a mistake. Bitch. I would imagine.
The golf game is, I had a lot of fun with the golf game. It's like, man, I really wish we had a golf game on Switch. It's very simple. You know, mm-hmm. It's very basic, but it's like, man, we need a golf game on Switch.
As long as the physics are good, you really don't need much else. Just swing and hit the ball. Is that golf or is it mini golf?
It's golf, but it's like very simplified mm-hmm. golf. You know, you just pick your club, aim your shot and do your power. That's it. And there's, you know, wind you have to contest with.
Yeah.
You don't have to, you know, and it's not like your typical golf game where you have, you know, the power meter, then you got to stop it again for perfection. None of that. Just power.
Straightforward.
It's very simple, very simplified, very arcadey. But I guess we do have some other golf games. Just like what that Golf With Your Friends just came out fairly recently. But that's like a mini golf. But we need like a Mario Golf experience on the Switch,
something that blends fun, like a Hot Shots too, where it blends fun with a little bit of simulation, but you don't get like overwhelmed. It's not like Tiger Golf or Tiger Woods or something where it's championship leagues and sponsorships like most sports games.
Right. So I'll probably keep digging into that here and there. That's kind of like I need a, you know, refresher and a time killer, but it's, you know, it's all presented great. But I just haven't small sample size there. I haven't played too much. You know, I've played like chess and I played checkers. I played solitaire, spider solitaire, blackjack.
I tried president and I have no freaking clue what that game is.
I did the boxing game. I did the one of the puzzle games, soccer, the toy curling. That was fun.
Ooh, curling would be good.
A couple other things, but I'm interested to try the multiplayer and do some of that, but I just haven't dabbled into it much. And I think really that's it. Like the one night our local brewery here in town reopened, so I grabbed and got a holler filled up. But note to self, don't do a double IPA when you get a holler, because then it's like, you know, about two and three quarters of a pint glass of what you get out of that. And that was too much of a 10%. Just so it's not
I would think so.
Yeah, so I like that night. I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna play Smash Brothers with my pro controller because I haven't done that in like 10 months," and it was an interesting experience. But that's it, man, for what I've been actually playing.
Nice. So I did this little thing called getting PlayStation Now on the old computer. I basically was like, "All right, the only way I can play The Last of Us is if I go get a PS4 DualShock controller." And
all you had to do was fix my brother's broken PS3. Remember?
Yes. And I tried and I couldn't get one. I couldn't get it back together. And two, I couldn't fix it. So I think it couldn't read discs. And I was like, oh, I've had this problem with my Xbox. I can just open it up and clean the lens. Not in that thing, man. It didn't have like a regular CD-ROM drive. It had a different drive that was completely, I don't know. It was weird. I took it apart and I knew I couldn't get it back together. Anyways, so yeah, I just said, you know what? I have some Best Buy certificate thingies. I'll go pick up a controller. And worst comes to worst, I have an extra controller for that way, you know, if I play PC games and need a second controller, a third controller, or whatever. So I did that, and I booted up PS Now, and my God, that thing is a piece of crap, dude. Every time you change a game, you have to log back in, and it doesn't have a Remember Me button. So you have to type in your credentials every time.
So is this like kind of like an afterthought for Sony?
It must be because
they got it working and they're just like, eh.
It must be. I mean, it doesn't, I feel like they're just now starting to wake up to the idea of PC and not really being a competitor when it comes to gaming. But yeah, they still have a lot of work to do on PS Now that they probably have no interest in doing. So it'll probably be like this forever, but
yeah,
whatever. So I started playing The Last of Us, and I'm pretty far in it, I would say. I don't know how far, but I've probably put 8 to 10 hours in it, I would say, at least. Enough to kind of know where the story's going, or at least have experienced enough of it to be like, okay, this is kind of what we're doing here. And the cinematics and the storytelling are a big draw of the game, right? You have this kind of story that's really pulls at your heartstrings, kind of. You got some characters, they got a good setup, good backstory and everything.
Sure.
And they're acted really well and everything, so no surprise there. What is surprising, though, is I didn't really know much about the combat or what you really do in the game. I mean, I knew you walked around, obviously. You had to go from point A to point B. That was about as much as I knew. And I'm actually finding the combat and the stealth to be pretty frustrating. I've had to retry multiple times, because what you'll do is you'll be going through these, at least in the part that I'm in, you'll be going through these abandoned buildings that have kind of fallen into disrepair or literally fallen over. And so you're kind of navigating up and down and around and jump or climbing up levels, jumping back down levels just to get through. And through all of these buildings, there's like these encounters where you'll basically jump down into an area and find out there's a bunch of zombies there, for lack of a better term.
I think they're called clickers.
What? Some of them are. Yeah, clickers. There's also runners, I think. And
that's all. This is the extent infected of my Last of Us knowledge.
you've used it all up just now. Yeah. So you'll jump down, and then they'll be kind of plopped about in this area, and you're left to sort of dispatch them however you feel. Now, the combat is fairly realistic in that you aren't given an Uzi in unlimited ammo. You've got a few handguns at this time anyway. Two handguns with limited ammunition, breakable melee weapons, and you can sneak around and strangle the zombies or people that you come across, or you can shiv them if you have shivs. And dispatch them that way, and very much in a Metal Gear Solid type of way. Yeah, or at least that's the feeling I got.
Speaking of that, would you play, like, I know it's already been remastered once, but I would totally play another remastered version of Metal Gear.
Oh, heck yes. Yes, I would.
If only they kept the lines for eyes and mouth.
No, please don't do that. No. It just wouldn't be the same if they did that, if they didn't do that. So, yeah, I've had multiple restarts. I've had a multiple different tries of trying to figure out what the hell I'm supposed to do and just not feeling like I'm making a lot of progress every time I get to these areas where I have to sort of do combat or stealth and figure out where I'm supposed to go and how I'm supposed to attack these people or these zombie things. And it's been really like chipping away. I feel like I'm not making a lot of progress. I'm just kind of chipping away at this game, because of how many times I've had to restart. So that's been pretty unfortunate.
I mean, does the story and then that experience, though, kind of
make up
bring
for
you
it?
Back? Yeah, does it make up for it? Does it bring you back in?
Or it is does. It does. As long as I'm keep making progress, I do want to know what happens next. It's just been such a pain in getting to that point that sometimes I'll be like, all right, like I'll play it for an hour. And then I'm like, all right, I'm done. Like I need to step away.
Like, I get, this is like that, one of the tentpole games of the generation. I feel like this is how you make a cinematic experience. And this is like that. I don't know. Is this the premier franchise that Naughty Dog has, or is it Uncharted? I feel like probably The Last of Us is probably that.
I feel like it's more critical. Cream. Yeah, critically lauded, but I'm also trying to keep in mind that the game is like 8 years old or something and came out a different generation ago.
Yeah.
You're playing
the original version. It's not like the remaster or anything like that.
And I don't understand why they didn't put the remaster. I guess because why would you buy it? But still, I don't know. Then why do you have PS Now? I don't understand.
PS Now's technology can't handle it.
That's probably true. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of slowdown, especially in certain areas. There's the controls when you're firing a gun feel heavy and slow. It feels like you're dragging your cursor through mud as opposed to pointing where you want to shoot, which I'm sure some of that has to do with, you know, a realistic version of combat. But at the same time,
sure,
it's tough to get used to. And you got to wonder how much of it is coming from the fact that I'm streaming a PlayStation 3 game off from a PlayStation server somewhere. So yeah. All in all, I mean, I'm still plugging away at it, but I gotta say it's not exactly like the mind-blowing experience that I hoped it would be, but I am enjoying it enough to continue. So that's kind of where I'm at right now with that.
I was always interested in, like, much in the same way as you when I heard that wasn't like a possibility, but I mean, you're not giving me like all the feels for it, and plus the fact that, you know, I don't think I could play, like, I don't want to play the, like, that version of it. So I think almost at this point, if I want to experience these games, I would just watch a let's play or something.
Yeah, you know? That might be the way to do it, because if you just want to experience what it is and skip the gameplay and that frustration, then I wouldn't.
I mean, after watching Markiplier do Resident Evil 2, I don't know if I would even
play
Resident Evil 2 remakes at this point, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Totally understand that. The other game that I've been wanting to try, because there are multiple PlayStation Now games, like Spider-Man is on there. So obviously I want to get to that eventually. And that's actually that's going to go away in August or July. I don't have a lot of time.
You should get on that then.
Yeah, exactly. The other game I've been playing is Until Dawn, which is that horror game. I think it launched around the time of the PlayStation 4. I'm not sure, actually, so maybe I should not say that. But I believe it was an early PS4 title anyway. And it's a horror game, kind of a adventure sort of cinematic adventure type of game where you follow like 6 or 8 college age kids. And they go to there's this thing that happens in the lodge that one of the characters' parents own. And then a year later, after that event, you're invited back to kind of have a memorial for what happened that year ago. All the same people are there. And then you're just kind of there to support the one character who invited you. And so it's super easy to play. I mean, it's an adventure game, sort of, but really you're just moving from point A to point B, picking stuff up, looking at it. There's not really any puzzles. You're just kind of getting more information as you go. And experiencing the story, really. You have it's kind of a choose-your-own-adventure type deal. So that's what I mean when I say easy to play. There's some timed button presses and stuff like that. But for the most part, you just kind of follow the trail, experience the story. And some days, like where I'm tired and don't really feel like using a lot of brain power on something, I'll just play Until Dawn. And I can play that game for like an hour and a half to 2 hours just because it's so cinematic. There's just so many cutscenes and stuff that it really does play out like a classic slasher horror movie.
Oh, wow.
Kind of like a Saw mixed with Friday the 13th or something like that. Yeah, or maybe more of like a Halloween. Just ever so slightly different there, or Scream, where there's not as much of a fantasy element to it, like how Jason can just keep coming back and, you know, can move like super fast even though he's just walking. That type of thing. Yeah, really enjoying it, actually. Way more than I thought I would. I've put a lot of time into it.
Cool. I don't know anything about, I mean, I've heard of the game, but I'm not really familiar with it whatsoever.
I think it's, I want to say it's from the same people who created Man of Medan. Like, that was their second game, and that came out for more platforms.
Okay.
So I remember a lot of, if I'm correct in that, I remember a lot of people being excited about that game because they did Until Dawn, which was kind of a cult classic, I think. I don't know. I'm not in the PlayStation ecosystem, so I really don't know what the word on the street is as far as that stuff goes.
Are you still playing Crossing Souls?
I kind of put that on the back burner a little bit, but I am I'm gonna get back to it.
I'm just curious because I feel like the way you talked about it, I wasn't familiar when I looked at it. I was like, oh, I feel like that would be something I would like.
I think that would be something you'd like. It's a little bit more, it's a little slower, Crossing Souls is, because there's times when you're just walking around to the next objective, as opposed to like playing levels, which you would kind of expect from a game like that. Mm-hmm. There's more of an open world there. But yeah, I do want to get back to that game, but The Last of Us kind of took priority just because I've been wanting to beat that game for so long. But yeah, Until Dawn, really enjoying it much more than I thought I would. I don't know if I'll ever play, because it's got the whole butterfly effect thing going on. So you can go back and like, this is how it would have happened type deal. But yeah, the story is compelling enough for me to continue. And again, it's so easy to just play that as opposed to something that requires more brain power. So yeah, there you go. PS Now.
PS Now. Basically. Glowing review. Well, let's go right into watchables. Sure. I didn't really push that category much further, but you know, going back, because you know, it's been a while since we talked. We went with it. Netflix has another Adam Sandler produced film. It's produced by Happy Madison, starring David Spade, The Wrong Missy. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's that type of humor you get, that crass, dumb, like college humor.
Yeah.
But we watched it and we laughed a lot, and that was like the type of movie you needed at this time.
Yeah.
Simple, just give the quick premise. David Spade meets this former Miss, I can't remember what state, but you know, attractive. He had a divorce, hung up on his ex-wife, meets this woman in an airport. They start to have what was going to be a one-night stand, but then she has to get on her flight, and then they're having this retreat for his work to Hawaii, and his buddy urges him, like, you should invite her. So he texts her, hey, why don't you come to me? Come with me to Hawaii. And unfortunately, he texts the wrong woman. And it's this woman that he had a horribly bad blind date with at the start of the film.
Yeah.
And hilarity ensues. Right. You know?
I saw how Netflix will play a trailer whenever you just land on something.
Instantaneously.
Yeah. I saw the trailer. I was just flipping through stuff and, it looked okay, actually. I didn't think it looked terrible.
I mean, a lot of dick jokes and poop jokes, but I mean, it was
so our show, basically.
I mean, I had fun with it, and it's got stars Lauren Lapkus is in it, who Josh like listens to apparently like 80 podcasts that she does. So I know
that's the main girl.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, because I've seen her in movies, and she was in. I believe she was in, I'm getting her confused with somebody else, but I've seen her in some other stuff, and she is very funny because she's been in like Comedy Bang Bang and that type of thing.
Yeah, this is like, I've seen her in small bit parts. This is like the biggest like acting experience I've seen of her. And yeah, she, very funny. But a lot of laugh out loud moments. And it's kind of funny because this is the first movie in a long time that I've seen David Spade where he almost resembles the David Spade from like the Tommy Boy, Black Sheep era. You know, at least he's not like the mustache, the shaggy hair, but I don't know. I still think he's funny, and it was, I don't know. We laughed a lot, and it was definitely not some of the stuff that, like, my wife and I would have watched together years ago, but now we do. And we're I think maybe we're just more comfortable watching shit like that. I don't know, but it was fun. You know, it's not True Myth Media quality film.
I was going to say, I feel like you're trying to apologize for liking it, and I don't, I'm not going to judge you for what you like. Not you like might. Those assholes at True Myth Media.
we watched a lot of stand up too. You know, after the Jerry Seinfeld, we watched the comedians. Hannah Gatsby is her name, and she has two stand up specials that are on Netflix. Nanette and then Douglas is the second one.
Okay.
And she's from Australia, and you know, just had a very difficult. She's from Tasmania, actually, and excuse me, not Australia, and just had a very difficult upbringing because not, you know, she's a lesbian, so, and like it was forbidden, you know, like everyone, oh, like religious, like, you know, this looked at, she was like very much looked like her path that she went on with life made it extremely difficult. And it talks about, you know, the social inequalities to that, but like, you know, violence towards her and just a lot of stuff. But I mean, she's like really funny too, but it's like, especially like in Nanette, it like, it's part stand up, but then like the second half is much
gets
like,
real.
it does get real. Like, okay. she really takes that as like a platform too. But I mean, it's really good. And we did watch like Patton Oswalt has one on there too. And I can't say I recommended that. I can't say I did, because like, you know, stand up's hard too, because you know, different comics are going to resonate differently with different people.
Yes, it's always tough to recommend anything.
And the whole reason we watched this is the same reason you're just having on there, and it's like, boom, here's the trailer, and it starts just going. And sometimes, you know, you get a trailer, and sometimes you just get a minute and a half of the film or show or whatever. And it started with this fantastic bit about wallpaper. Like having these guys do wallpaper in his house, and he's like, and we're like, okay, let's watch this. But then we started, and I don't think I've ever seen any of his stand up. I know I'm familiar with the numerous sitcoms he's been in before, but it wasn't that good.
It's always a bummer.
So it was always a bummer. But so there's enough other great things out there. And then lastly, I think the only thing that of note I'd say we watched is I don't think we watched any other series. Queer Eye season 5 came out like 2 weeks ago, so of course we finished that. And that's just more of the same. Like it's really like I never watched, you know, the original show, but I do really enjoy this new series, because I think they like, they always have like, you really feel for the people that they're there to help. And then like, you know, there's all facets of, like, they each have, you know, their different areas of expertise, but they really just help that person in so many different facets of their life and put them on this better path. And then it always, like, after I watch them, I'm always thinking, well, maybe I should dress this way. And I definitely need to trim the beard, do this. Or, you know, there's always like this grooming and stuff that comes in, but I don't know. I think it's great. I mean, we watch all the seasons, so I guess that speaks for itself. But and I could have sworn there was like another series or show we powered through there at some point too, but I can't. We still need to go back and finish Ozark at some point. We kind of put that on hold. When Dead to Me came out, we kind of needed to get a little more lighthearted, which is why you see, you know, we went to the comedies and went to stand up and got away from these dark procedural dramas and thick and heavy, you know. But
I don't blame you.
No, I'll have to get back and finish my Adventure Time. You know, I've got HBO Max, so I'm all set for when those new ones come out. It's funny, John HBO Oliver, Max. You know, I watch that all the time, and he rips on HBO Max every week.
Really? Nice.
But, I mean, I have free access from AT&T, and I can't imagine subscribing, paying for that service, because I don't know what you would watch. I don't know what you would pay for to watch that. I guess if you didn't have HBO already.
Right. Well, and that's what... But
can't you just get HBO Now?
I think they're trying to phase that out and just only make it HBO Max. But the problem is they launched it without it, at least last I knew, was because I did a 7-day trial this week so that I could watch the rest of Silicon Valley because I was watching most of it.
Yeah.
And I got the email and I was like, oh, hell yeah. It doesn't work on Roku devices or Amazon streaming devices because they didn't strike a deal with those companies, and it is not HBO Max is not available.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
God, I don't know how I'm even going to watch it then. I only tried to watch it on a browser. No way to watch it then because I'm in the same position. I have my two streaming devices of a Roku. Oh, wait. My AT&T TV boxes are Chromecast.
Oh, so I'll probably work on there.
They're Chromecast compatible, so I can just cast two of them.
Yeah, well, because
It's not a Roku or... I mean, remember when we were like Disney Plus, we were down to the wire. Like, are they going to strike a deal with Amazon and they got it worked out? I can't. I mean, That's a big market share you're leaving out. Like Amazon's the Amazon TV, I think it's like the second most set top box in the house, I think.
Yeah, Roku's
I would think Chromecast, Roku, and Amazon are the top three, right?
I mean, yeah, I think so. Apple TV? I don't know. Apple TV might be more popular than I think, but I don't know anybody who has one. So
I don't know anyone who has one.
Either way,
Nathan.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I was surprised. Wow. I have my computer hooked up to my TV.
Let me do this.
Yeah,
properly.
Give it to me again.
Wow.
Yeah, there it is.
I mean, really? Wow.
Yeah, they suck. No wonder why they can't get off the ground. I mean, like you said, there's nothing really compelling to watch there. They have some decent shows, but they're not worried about doing 4K or HDR or any of the other things that everybody else is doing. They're going to get left behind if they don't figure something out because...
Oh, dude, you watched Uncut Gems?
Bullshit.
I don't watch that.
Okay. Well, yeah, let me get to this stuff. Well, here, I'll start there. Yeah, I watched a bunch of movies in 2 weeks.
Are you going to beat your total?
No, not even close. Not even close. I'm not even past 100 yet. I used to be able to get like almost probably 25 in a month. I'm not even going to get close here because of...
Well, I mean, you've had less time and then now you're like... Now it's like you're like, oh, we're home. Lucas, do this. Look, your honey do list is just like
it's true
every week.
It's true. I'm usually doing something, and then that's how I get too tired. Also, the sleeping has been awfully interrupted and terrible lately, so that hasn't helped either.
Help.
But I watch stuff where I can, and I watched Uncut Gems because it was on Netflix, and I've been wanting to see this since I saw a trailer for it, and I gave it 4.5 stars. Okay. Really, really good. My first impression was, wow, Adam Sandler can act. Like, he does really good. And it's not, he's not Adam Sandler as a character. He is actually acting as,
like Wario 64, they shares like a link to like, if this movie was on sale to watch it, they always show that it's always that clip or it's just that image of him from the movie, "You're gonna make me come" or something like that.
Oh,
I don't remember the exact line, but that's what I...
That's ridiculous. I mean, there is a little bit of that in there, but probably not enough that it would be weird.
Right, because, like, let me see if I remember right. He is a jeweler, right? And then he has a gambling problem and he owes a lot of money, and then he gets mob coming after him type.
Yes. So he finds this gemstone. Basically, he finds this thing, which is a gemstone. Very
Power
rare
stone
that's going to solve all of his problems, and so the whole movie basically consists of him working out this deal. So it's very like on the edge of your seat because you're trying to figure out like, is this all going to come together? How is this all going to come together?
He has a family, right? That he's got to look out for,
and he has a mistress and all this other stuff, and he also caters to a more famous clientele. Like, he's the kind of shop that would close down and then have like an NBA player, for instance, come into a shop and shop exclusively, you know, nobody else in there, that type of place.
Sure.
So high stakes type of movie. The soundtrack was really good. It was an 80s synth soundtrack, but it doesn't take place in the 80s, so it was kind of this weird mix. I know that's kind of popular now, but it was kind of interesting to see that outside of hey, here's a 80s-esque movie for you.
You had me at Synth Lord.
Yeah, well, that's what I do, man. And also, surprisingly, a few good examples of HDR scenes. Specifically, there's a blacklight scene in a club where you really do get that glow effect, and it really plays well on HDR because it just stands out all that much more. So,
80s
good
woman
looking.
Wrestling.
What?
You said the glow effect, so 80s women.
Yes,
wrestling?
That's what you get. Yes, exactly. Yeah, so I would recommend you watch it. Uncut Gems. It was very good. Let's work our way up, why don't we? Way Back. This was
not to be confused with The Way, Way Back.
Yes. Yes. Or I think that's the one about the classroom, right? Basically.
No, that's the one that one of Jess's favorite movies about the summer trip with the kid that works at he goes to work at the water park, and his name's Duncan, and he's like kind of socially awkward and not really sure of himself, and he has this summer at the pier, and you know, betters himself.
Coming of life.
Yeah, kind of that coming of age stuff.
Coming
really
of
good. Age.
Coming of life. Yeah, ooh, boy.
Joel, I want to watch that, and we used to have a subscription to Apple TV, and we watched. I think the only thing we started to watch Morning Show, but then we fell into what's the podcast one? Truth Be Told. We watched all of that, and then we stopped watching it, so we unsubscribed. But Mythic Quest looks really hilarious.
I have no idea what you're talking about, especially because it's on Apple TV, so we'll never
think
know.
Think like Silicon Valley, but it's about like making a game.
Oh.
Instead, and it's now got what's his name from Always Sunny in Philadelphia? Mac, the guy who plays Mac.
Oh gosh, yeah, he's
he's like the head of the studio.
Oh, nice. Maybe I'll have to check it out then. But anyway, The Way Back, it's a basketball movie my wife wanted to see. It's got Ben Affleck in it, and it's your typical basketball movie.
Okay, I saw this on, I think I got an email from Netflix today, and that was there, and it's like, I've never heard of this. Like, usually, I mean, you know, Ben Affleck doesn't make like a whole lot of movies, like those movies you've never heard of before until they're out.
Yeah.
So I was like, what the hell is this?
What is this? Yeah, I don't blame you. It's a basketball movie, and it plays out exactly how you would expect if you've ever seen a basketball movie. In this one, he plays a guy who, he used to play college ball, and he played for, you find out in the course of the movie that there's a reason why he quit playing. His life is in shambles now. He's a drunk. You learn about these things throughout the movie. But he gets asked to coach the ball team at that college, you know, years later. So it's pretty cheesy. You know, you get kind of what you expect. But I will say this. If it wasn't for Ben Affleck, this movie would have been like 1.5 to 2 stars. I gave it 3, which is being generous, but he actually does a really, really good job of playing a guy who is like getting trashed every day because he's like in a lot of pain.
Okay.
Yeah. There's not a lot of comedy in here. It's actually because there's a lot of hurt in his life and he's just trying to like basically cover that up with drinking. So, from that aspect, it was actually pretty good. It's just the basketball part is very typical and in no way surprising. So that was kind of unfortunate. The Way Back,
okay.
3 stars. Take it or leave it, really. I watched The Irishman. Irishman took me like 6 sittings to watch this damn thing because it just
I mean,
it's so long.
Why does Scorsese have to make like 8-hour movies? Like
I don't know. I think he's like trying to get the record for most movies over 3 hours or something. I don't know. Yes, Martin Scorsese film, masterfully shot. No surprise there. I felt like there wasn't a scene wasted in the entire movie. Every single scene was some sort of. I mean, it's underplayed. It's not like there's a. It's very. Minimal, but you can see things going on without people saying things. You can see Robert De Niro's character, like the way he feels about things that are going on in front of him or things that he overhears in each scene and how that kind of shapes who he becomes in this.
Sure.
Mob,
did you find
basically?
like some of the common complaints are people are like the CG is like off-putting. Did you like mind that, like that de-aging that they did with the actors? Or
at first I did a little bit, but then I kind of stopped trying to figure it out. It got like less noticeable the longer I watched it. Sort of like when I watched Alita Battle Angel and like she's got those huge eyes and everything, but then after a while you just kind of get used to it.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was bad, honestly.
I'll be honest, I think we have one of our customers as a meat producer, mm-hmm. and sometimes it feels like the same thing happens today with what was going on with the meat and like that, like how he was loading up, delivering up like those cuts of beef, but then they would, you know, he was selling just off
magically slabs, disappear
like
fall
yeah because all
truck.
Of a sudden, you know, we magically like shipments are shorted and like some stuff going on. That's all I'm gonna say.
Omaha Steaks not getting their
that's
cut.
That's right.
Yes, it is a long movie, but I don't really like mob movies that much, and I wasn't really sure what to expect here, but I thought it did a pretty good job. I felt like it was pretty respectful of my time, given how long it is, three plus hours. I mean, like I said, I really did have to sit down six different times and watch the movie. But it's got all your favorites. The Robert De Niro's, the Al Pacino's, the Joe Pesci's. They all do good. And then Ray Romano's there. Right. What, Deborah? Yeah. Deborah didn't come, but
how was it? Like, is it like 3 hours and 45 minutes? Isn't that?
I think it's 3 hours and 28 minutes.
I mean, man, you get me over 2 hours. And it's like, I mean, unless it's Star Wars, then I can watch like 6 hours of it. But I mean, I mean, it's tough. But I mean, I think, did we do it? I think we did it all in one sitting. I think wow. we did it, watched it all in one night.
It might feel longer if you do it all
maybe
in one
two,
night.
But
here's the thing though, like, at the end of the movie, after all that happened and everything that you see, because it's not explicitly a mob movie in the sense that it's about the mob. It's more about Robert De Niro's character and how the mob affects him. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like the Goodfellas where you just see him going off and whacking a bunch of guys. You know, he does do that, obviously, but it feels more about how it affects his life as opposed to like a glorified, here's what happens if you join the mob type deal.
Very interesting, though. That's what happened to Hoffa. That's how, you know, he claims, you know, in that story.
Yes. Yes. It's good. And the characters there are very compelling. And it's whenever a movie makes me feel bad for a guy who is kind of a shithead, really, like, I mean, honestly, he killed people. He was a bad guy, but he thought he was doing the right thing and very loyal dude. And you kind of feel bad for him at the end.
Kind of like, what's that? There's another one I watched, 2012, The Iceman, starring Michael Shannon.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He was like he was a hitman for the mob. And
yeah,
you know,
I mean, I don't want to go too far into it. It isn't a year old now, but I mean, I know some people are still getting to it because it's long. So I don't want to like ruin it for anybody. But yeah, at the end, I felt like, you know what, would I ever watch it again? Probably not for a long time because of how long it is. But it is good and probably an instant classic as far as I'm concerned, even if I don't really agree with everything that Martin Scorsese has to say about what a movie is or anything like that. He's kind of
sure.
an a-hole sometimes, but whatever. My wife and I sat down and watched Just Mercy a couple days ago. That's the now free movie, at least for a limited time, about a young black man who defends prisoners on death row in Alabama. Specifically, he starts the Equal Justice Initiative as well, and it follows him as he kind of goes from sort of a young law firm aide, I think, to becoming or intern basically into figuring out what he wants to do. And this is what he ends up doing, is going to death row, finding these cases that other lawyers have kind of said, you know, they've either didn't work very hard in the initial case or whatever it was. And he goes and tries to see what happened to in their cases. And it's about a couple of cases, but most specifically one in particular, and that's the character that Jamie Foxx plays. I don't know, it's good. It is good. Obviously it's very topical right now.
Right,
so that's why it's free. And I will have to say that I thought because it was free, I was like, well, it's going to be like the HD version or whatever. But no, it's the 4K everything version. You know, they give you the works. I'm not going to lie. I got misty-eyed in this movie. There's some tough parts in it. It's
sure.
It's not like I looked at my wife and I said, well, it's no Schindler's List as far as like feeling like you're just gonna weep through the entire movie, but it was pretty strong and not terribly cheesy. We both commented that we felt like this is what A Time to Kill, that book turned movie that we watched about the lawyer, I feel like that was what this is what that was trying to be like. This was much more impactful. And it, like I said, it's free. I think everyone should take 2 hours, watch this movie, and get a little perspective, because you see what it's like to be basically you. I want to make sure I put this and don't mince my words or say something that's stupid.
Oh boy.
But you can kind of get an idea of what it would be like to be convicted of a crime just because you of the color of your skin or the way that you look, because you look this certain way, which basically means you did this.
Sure.
And there's multiple perspectives. It's not just a black guy who gets convicted of something he didn't do. There were other people on death row they're based on real stories. One guy was basically like, "You look guilty." One police officer told the guy that he looked guilty, so they were going to arrest him.
So, I mean, that checks out.
Yeah, I mean, that's a straight and narrow story. So what are you going to do? I mean, I can't ever say I've been in that position. That's what I'm trying to say, is it gives me some perspective on what that would be like. And that seems horrible. So, I really do. Whether or not you find it as compelling as I did is, I guess, up to you personally. We're getting raided. Look at that.
Oh, Bobby.
Good thing I got all of the stuff.
Hello, everyone. You're just in time to hear Lucas
be political. His
superior film watching strategies.
Don't worry, I'm about to talk about wrestling, so everyone's gonna either stay
hey, that
or
fits
leave.
In because I too, you jogged my memory, because we talked about this. We had a short engagement regarding wrestling, oddly enough. So I'm not familiar with this
what media. I'm talking about. Okay,
yeah,
I posted it in the PSVG wrestling strong style, I think it was, because I thought I had heard somebody talking about that, and Donnie had posted on there that it was on Netflix, but nobody ever said anything about it. Now, this is a wrestling documentary from 1999, if you can believe it. So really the height of the SmackDown Attitude Era.
When it was probably at its, I mean, yeah, like the, I mean, my knowledge is a little weak. Yeah, because it's right during, the higher points between WCW and WWF at that time.
Yeah, before the merger and everything. So follow is kind of a strong word for each of these cases, but it does kind of follow these wrestlers and talks about them from the perspective of the movie maker, the documentarian, which is the wrestlers Terry Funk, Mankind, and Jake the Snake, among some others, but those were kind of like the three main ones. And it's funny, like Jake the Snake, it's funny to think that this is from 1999 and they're talking about trying to find out where Jake the Snake went. And they're still talking about like what happened to Jake the Snake now in documentaries that are released, you know, from 5 years ago.
Yeah, there's one I always wanted to watch that was on Netflix and I never got around to it. And now it's not available, I don't think, any longer. Let me look it up.
Because he was on Diamond Dallas Page's like weight loss thing or whatever show.
The DDP yoga?
Yeah. And on something
Resurrection
like that.
Of Jake the Snake was the documentary.
Ah, okay. It's just like this dude is so messed up. Even then in 1999, there's a part where they were talking about how just before his career ended, he didn't show up for the show or wasn't going to show up for the show. And they're all looking for him. And he basically told them that unless they get him some cocaine, he wasn't showing up to wrestle. So, I mean, that's how far he'd gone at that point. So,
I mean,
that's pretty crazy. But, you know, you see Terry Funk, who's been wrestling for like 40 years at that point, just a broken down old man.
His body's got to be just destroyed.
Yeah, they talk a little bit about that, but he's basically the wrestler. Like, that's what it's the amalgamation of all these people. Yeah, that dude is a mess. His knees are gone. Just like there's got to be something in these guys where they just don't feel pain or have a completely different pain threshold. They talk about Mankind, and that was the story that resonated with me the most because I didn't realize that he had a family with two kids who are like around the ages of my kids, a little bit older, but his wife is taking them to see their dad wrestle, and specifically the match that I remember watching between The Rock and Mankind, where it was a no, or it was a I quit match, no holds barred, you know, no disqualifications. They just fought until somebody said I quit, and like he gets hit with a chair 8 times or some crazy thing like that, and it's showing
Bobby in the chat right there with you.
Yes, multiple chair shots. There you go. And they're showing the perspective of his family. They're like second row or first row, and these kids are just like afraid for their dad, because how do you explain to like a 5 or 6 year old that wrestling isn't real while your dad's getting hit by a chair?
Real or not, though, still you're still taking punishment through all of that too. I mean, you're like, you could, like the, you can say, you know, the outcomes are pre-planned and it's fixed and it's choreographed, but still, man, they're still taking physical, and it still takes athletic ability and going through some physical pain to do what they do.
Yes. Yes. I mean, they show a little bit when it looks like your skull has been cleaved. I mean, wrestling isn't fake in that perspective of a performance art, so to speak. You really are taking these hits, but that was really kind of shocking to see. And then he goes, the filmmaker goes back to their house after the match and shows it to the footage that he captured, because he even said like kind of haunted him for a few weeks after what happened. So he goes back and shows it to
what did you watch this
Mick
on,
Foley,
by the way?
Netflix. He goes back and shows Mick Foley, and he's like, I feel like a really bad dad now, you know, and all that. He has like a joking manner about him. He's sort of like a jolly Santa Claus, it feels like. But all of a sudden you see he's just like, wow, I never thought of it like from that perspective. My wife had a good point. She was like, why is the wife taking the kids that young to see a wrestling match anyway? So that's the question I don't have an answer to, but
Sako, that's why.
Mommy, whatever. So yeah, really good. Really good. I gave it a 4. Even being so old, it was actually kind of surprising to see how behind the scenes he was allowed to get. Like, he's filming stuff before shows started. He talks to Vince McMahon. And like nowadays, I don't think that would fly. They have too much control over what gets out.
Yeah, it's all about the image and the product. And I don't think they'd let anything like that get out. It's kind of funny that you talk about this, because it's all timely, because I've watched, and Joel brought it up in the chat, is Dark Side of the Ring, which is on Vice. And that's it's 2 seasons are out. I had started watching the first season, and then that's when we moved.
Yeah.
So I lost all the episodes that I hadn't gotten to that are on the DVR. So I'll have to pick those back up. So I'm now watching season 2, and the same thing, you know, it's, you know, various stories from wrestling, and they've got interviews with former executives and wrestlers that were, you know, involved in the setup and everything. And it's like the first story in season 2 talks about Chris Benoit.
Oh,
and if you remember,
man,
that tragic tale, yes. I mean, it was just like, you
that's
know,
rough
going, like going back about his career and everything, and then what happened, and then, you know, what we know now about concussions and head trauma and what that leads to. And I mean, it's just like, holy cow. And it's just like, I was watching one episode, and my wife comes by and she's like, didn't you already watch this? And it's like, no, I didn't. It's just like, unfortunately, the stories just keep happening. It's always the same, like self-destruction, kill their girlfriend, die horribly, you know, it's just
drugs,
like this,
and alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. It's just this horrible outcomes for everything. And like, I didn't plan on it. And I watched like 3 or 4 episodes because I was going to play Xenoblade, and I started watching that instead. Next thing I know, I watched 3 episodes of that. And I didn't watch, you know, wrestling growing up as a kid, but you know, growing up when I did in the 80s and the 90s, it was such a big thing. And of course you knew what it was. You know, who didn't know who Hulk Hogan was,
yeah,
growing up, you know? And then I did a little bit in my high school days, back when you had the SmackDown and Nitro and Raw and all these, you know, yeah, worn back and forth, you know, it's fun to, you know, to watch all of that. So I had a lot of familiarity with high profile wrestlers and things. So it's kind of interesting to go back and relive some of those memories of things you do. But like they're talking about, what was it? I think the last one I watched was the Bobby, if you're still in chat, you can help me out, where they decided, okay, well, there's this one wrestler, Bradshaw, that kept running his mouth all the time. saying how he'd kick everyone's ass if it was real. So then they had the producers had the idea, okay, let's get 20 guys. Let's let them fight and see who the best badass, see who the real badass is. So they put these guys with no training, put them in boxing gloves and say, okay, we're going to have a tournament. You guys are going to fight each other.
What the hell?
Yeah. Well, of course they had, and then whoever won would, you know, get a better billing. I think they would get more promotion and they'd put them up against Steve Austin because Stone Cold was like the biggest thing at that time. But the guy they wanted to win didn't, got like knocked out, got severely injured.
Jeez.
And his career like tanked after that. And he was done with wrestling. He was like out of wrestling in like a year. And that guy did win. They didn't really want anything to do with him. And then after he did win, they didn't know what to do with him. So they kind of sidelined him. And then here's the kicker. They wait until WrestleMania. They bring him back and they have him box Butterbean.
Oh, gosh. I think I remember that part of the story.
Yeah, and they gave him some training. Mm-hmm. Let him go to get some boxing training for a little bit. But an amateur against Butterbean?
Didn't he get immediately destroyed?
Yeah. Butterbean knocked him out. I mean,
it's good. It's good for TV. It's good for ratings.
I mean, exactly. And that's what you see what they do. And it's just like, so I think one of the next ones I'm looking forward to watch is like the story behind the Road Warriors and how their tag team fell apart. And then like the finale of that season is about Owen Hart. And that's another, you know, tragedy, a death.
Another
gone too soon story of a wrestler. And it's just like, my God, you know, and you know, I know a lot's, you know, changing there, but, and I've seen a lot about, you know, the behind the scenes and like, you know, how they, you know, there's not, you know, they don't get healthcare, you know, they're all independent contractors, you know, they're responsible for them. So they like, and if they're not performing, they're not getting paid. And it's just, I mean,
it's a
really tough industry. And I mean, I'm no near the expert of Donnie or many other people in our social media circles, but I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I find it fascinating. Like I don't know. It's just really interesting to watch. And I could probably watch any documentary on any of the wrestlers, like, you know, Iron Sheik or, you know, Jake the Snake or Ultimate Warrior, any of them. I think it would be like, you should watch when you still have HBO, you should watch the one about Andre the Giant.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that's on there. That's a good point. I tried to watch what you're watching right now, but it's on Hulu, but you have to have a TV subscription through Hulu.
I think you can watch a lot of it right on YouTube.
Oh, that would be awesome then. I'll do it that way then.
I think. Let me, I'll dig it up while you're doing your last little thing here.
Yeah, I was going to say, before we go, I might as well just say, I also, to get into the books, I'm basically done with that Shadowrun book that I will not apologize for reading, even though I know it's the equivalent of, like, the cheesiest reading that you could possibly do. But I will say this. When I first talked about it, it's called The Burning Time, and I just read the back of the book to you so you knew what it was about. I will say this. I have read another book that featured the characters that are in this one. And they're in some other books as well. But I didn't know this, having read at least one other story about this character, the protagonist of this group. But apparently he is gay, which is notable because I was like, when was this published? It's 2001. So who knows when it was written?
Very, very impressive.
Yeah. And it's not even just like.
What type of light is he portrayed in, though? Is it a positive or.
He's a hero. I mean, like, he's the hero of the book. So I would say the best I can say about it is it's actually like a tragic love story between him and the guy that he used to love and also taught him how to use magic. I know I almost cringe while I say that, but, and this guy that he used to love comes back and is featured prominently in the book about what happens. And so it's not even just like, hey, he's gay for the sake of being gay and like controversial or whatever at that time. It actually had a point, which was kind of surprising too. And it was never really discussed other than the fact that one of the people in the group, a girl, had feelings for him, even though she knew he was gay, but she couldn't help but feel how she felt about him. And that was the only other part about him being gay, other than it like happened to be a part of this mission that they were on. So it was kind of surprising. Yeah.
But was he a Tucker?
No, he wasn't. The girl was the one that fell in love with him. He was a mage. So you can't be a Decker and a mage. It's not really possible. I could get into why, but then our eight viewers would go to zero viewers. And then.
Well, actually, you see, because there's
a thing called Essence. And if you get cyberware, then. Okay, that's even more than I wanted to joke about. So, yeah. I finished it. I'm going to move on to Skullduggery Pleasant, which is that ridiculous sounding book. Harry Potter meets, I don't know, magic meets fantasy, I guess. I don't know. It's not Shadowrun. That's all I can say. My wife's reading it. My wife. And I think you should just read
Headlopper instead.
Ooh. You have one of those, don't you?
I gave it back to Mike a long time ago.
Oh, that's right. I forgot it was Mike's, but then I have to see Mike and I don't want to have to do that.
You can't see Mike right now.
Hey, that's your excuse. You're right. Get old, dude. The quarantine was the best thing that ever happened to me between like having children and
not having to see people you don't like.
Yeah, exactly. Just say, oh man, I can't. Sorry, my kids. Now it's like, oh, quarantine, dude. Sorry, I can't come to your thing I don't want to come to. I'm lucky if I get 7 hours of sleep and you want me to come over at 9 o'clock? No. To watch a movie? No. It's not happening.
But it's in the Criterion Collection.
Well, then I will watch it at home and start it at 8 p.m. like a normal
A guy who shot this has a name that sounds like he made a Nintendo game. Okay.
Okay.
That's how you know. That's good.
Jean-Luc Picard? Is that who it was?
You had me at Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, boy. Speaking of things you'll watch because it just has somebody in it.
Do you think there's a documentary about the making of the Street Fighter movie? Because I feel like that would be fantastic. There better be. Man, yes. If there's one about how the island of Dr. Moreau went to hell, you know?
I forgot about that movie. That's the one where the people are mixed with animals or something, right?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Really quick, I will mention, because I don't think I had a chance. Have I talked about Barkskins at all?
No, because I have no clue what that is.
Okay, so this is on the National Geographic Channel. I just want to mention real quick that we started watching it. It's a period piece set in the colonial. It's probably, you know, revolutionary time period, but you know, probably pre-Revolutionary War. It's set in Canada. I think in Quebec. I'm not sure, at least that's the province. I'm not sure what city, but
you haven't been watching this at all.
Because like the area, they call the area New France. So it's a French settlement, and it's
New France. Ha ha ha.
And it's just, I don't even know like really how to describe it so much, but it, you know, the settlers that are there, their conflict with the local tribes. I think what is the Iroquois are they call them the Iroquois. That's one of the more warlike nations that's there, but it's just like, I don't know. It's really well shot and really well acted. And I mean, it's really well done, period. But it I don't know, I find like anything that's like a period historical work like that is just like really fascinating to watch, especially because you don't see a whole lot in that time period. And the best part is they air two episodes every week, so you get two to watch instead of just one. So I think we've watched four or six so far, but it's really, really good. I don't want to really talk about the story beats, but I mean, it's just
Barkskins.
Barkskins.
Sounds like a delicious kind of like some kind of chip,
like a chip bag. Chocolatey dessert.
Yeah, I'm thinking of those like potato skin chips that you get used to get from the vending machine. I think they literally were called like tater skins or something.
Oh yeah, I remember those. Joel, there's an article, if you've never read it, that talks like a whole like a behind the scenes about the making of Street Fighter, and then like just like how it's amazing it got made with, you know, Raul Julia's health and like Jean-Claude just snorting coke,
blitz on cocaine
all the time, getting drunk. I mean,
not giving a shit about the movie at all.
And the fact that, yeah, that and how like the writing and everything, it's amazing that film, much like the Super Mario Brothers film. It's amazing.
Bob Hoskins drunk all the time.
I mean, do you blame them?
I mean, the secret is that all movies are like that, and people are just drunk all the time. That's why people do movies. It's just one big party.
Mm, okay.
I bet you all didn't right. know that.
I didn't know that. Shall we?
Yeah, I see what done. I see what you did here, you bastard. Okay. I saw you snuck. What? You snuck in. You changed. You changed.
Well, that was the old one. I hadn't updated it.
What?
The original one that was in there is an old one.
No, I put that one in there.
I thought it was I could have swore I went to the link and it went to Snake.
It did. Did we play that one already?
Yeah, we already played that one.
Ah, but it's so good. Dang it.
We already played it. Sorry.
Sorry. Well, then you saved me from embarrassment, so
now
thank
we're
going
to fight on the air. Look at that. We're going to scare away these people that rated us and they'll never listen to this podcast
the
ever.
The secret is that I don't really care that you changed it at all. I was just trying to give them something to feast their ears on.
You jerk. Well, anyway, then I'm going to say that's going to end the show, guys. But thank you to all of our patrons. But a special thanks to our Arbiters of Awesomeness, Josh Brown, Kyle Hyman, Tyler Rowland, Tom Servo, Matt Knight, Zach Bradshaw, The Egg Shen, our executive of excellence, Edwin Callow. And please bow before the Crusaders of the Legion, Dan Anthony and Devin Tyus. We thank you all for your support. If you want to join the excellent Flux Legion, please check out patreon.com/fluxdepose. But before we go, we have to play an overclocked remix as we always end an episode. Tonight, coming from... Do we say it? Is it a PlayStation classic? No. Yeah, it is. On a PlayStation, Army Men Air Attack. This is Electro Termites. Unfortunately, I couldn't think of a good new remix to play, so I did. I just went to rainwave.cc.
Oh.
Let the randomizer. That's what was.
Let the good randomizer times roll.
Take control. I mean, that's what. They
made
a playing.
Lot of Army Men games, and I don't really know why. Did Toy Story bring them back?
I think Toy Story like kind of rode that wave of popularity. Everyone just liked to be able to walk like that.
There was the guy who's laying down. Like, you didn't have to worry about whether or not
the guy was always crawling. And then there's always the minesweeper guy.
Yeah, yeah. Minesweeper guy.
Looking for some treasure.
He's useless. And the bazooka guy. He's kneeling, so you don't have to worry about him standing up either.
Yep. M16 guy. Yep. And you got to hit the binocular guy.
Yes, binocular
guy. Or the
guy
with the phone calling in the airstrike.
That's true. Fire for effect, obviously.
That's right. And then usually there's a grenade guy, right?
No wonder why so many people just join the army. Like, when you have these green army, man, it looks cool as hell. And then you get there and it's like Vietnam happens and you're like, oh, God, this is
thank
awful.
Thank you for the bit, sir. This is I don't want to say, I can't really say, if I want to go like the Mega Dad shout out, or the Mega Dads, no, don't want them. Nintendo Dad shout out, I would say like this is the anti-Minnesota podcast, but I feel like that would be
Minnesota.
Horrible right now because what's going on around Minnesota. But
yeah, you can't joke about it.
You're always
now.
Getting slighted in there. You're being called you're from Minnesota, Tim, and that's just not fair when you're from Michigan. And here we're from Michigan, so it's like the Michigan boys getting all together doing podcasts.
As we do.
How about I go back to introing this Army Man thing, though, so we can get the heck out of here. This is by
it's because we had to
the
show our tits for those bits.
Army Man Air Attack by 3DO. 1999 on the PlayStation 1. It's a remix of the song Action 1. It's a chiptune-y, so that's always good. And it's not 10 minutes long, so that's always a plus.
Surprising.
So as always, we're going to play this one. We're going to get out of here. If you like this remix, check out more at ocremix.org. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for watching. And we'll be back next week with, I don't know.
A thing.
We got a thing. It's not on the calendar, so I don't know. Just like the teleprompters, I read everything that's in front of me. Goodbye.